This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
But we've been away for a while. We're back after a short break in the south of Namibia where it's very cold. We left at -4. We came back in the 28th when we came through the desert this Monday. It's amazing how the temperature can just change in this country. And we live in this bubble, hey? Swakopmund is a bubble. It's a bubble where the weather is not the same as anywhere else in Namibia. And so we've had a good time out there. And just being refreshed and seeing what God is doing with a small group that's coming together there. And by the way, if you've seen the announcements this morning, we are starting a new service tonight for the young working. So I know you don't have to want to be that excited, but it's fine. Tonight, for the young working, if you know of anybody, if you sit here and you feel this and I can identify with that, then make sure that you're here tonight at 6 o'clock, that we're going to, from here onwards, every Sunday night, adding another service. I've been meditating, because I know as a pastor, continuously that thing is just ticking. What is God saying to us? What is God saying for next week? And you're continuously in that mode. And some time ago, there's been this, I don't want to say sermon, but this message and word that's been in my heart. And this morning, I deliberately moved that pulpit away, so that we can just have a nice time of chatting and talking, you know, feeling like we're in the lounge. Okay, sometimes I feel that can be a barrier between us. And it's always, I find it sometimes more personal, intimate, and more powerful than just talking to somebody over a cup of coffee. And we'll speak straight over the things that really matter, rather than just being spiritual and religious versus being authentic and just talking about the things that matters to us. And there's been this word that's been in my spirit for a while now called critical mass. I don't know, you've all heard about the word. And critical mass is this thing, when you look in the dictionary for the definition of it, that's the smallest amount of matter that is needed to start a nuclear chain reaction. Okay, we're not going to build a nuclear bomb this morning. So don't worry, we are working here, or we're close to the uranium, but not what we're going to do this morning. It's also referred to in business terms that's the optimum size or ideal size that a business needs to reach in order to be competitive and effective. But then there's a third definition. I think that was what God was starting to build into my spirit, and just meditating upon this, is this thing, the size that something needs to reach before a particular change, development, or event can happen. Okay? The size that something needs to reach before a particular change, event, or development can happen. Okay? So something builds up, then there's critical mass when one more thing is added. Then there's a sudden change in that. So by the way, for the younger generation, this is the scale, okay? But I guess you all know that. This has been my grandfather's scale, so he's been in our kitchen for a while now. And when I saw that, the word critical mass, I saw the picture, and then God started ministering. Sometimes it's amazing how God would start ministering to you. Various ways, but in this way, it was from this picture. And I could see how we could sometimes in life add into. But before we go there, let's give some context to this and read scripture first, and I want to build on that foundation. In Galatians 6, if you've got your Bibles here, I think we've got it up here as well. We're just going to read three or four verses, which is actually very, many of you might be familiar with that, heard it before. But let's just read that from verse 7, Galatians chapter 6 from verse 7, that says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." It's called seed time and harvest time. It's called about, we hear that often when people speak about sowing and reaping, this whole scripture. But it's so relevant to us today, because this morning you were a sower when you came here. Let's rewind the service a little bit. You decided this morning, if you were a normal, average person that do not work on a Sunday morning. Some of us sometimes have to work because our work requires that of us. Nothing wrong with that. But the majority of people, not like myself, I have to work on a Sunday. But anyway, I enjoy this. I don't call this work. I just get to sit with you here in the lounge. And anyway, so the majority of us would, on a Sunday morning, have a choice if you're not working, because work's telling you have to be there. But the rest of us, when you were there in bed, you had a decision. Am I going to come to church this morning, or I'm going to stay in a little bit later? Or I'm going to fishing, or I'm just going to spend some time with my family. But you're here this morning, so congratulations, you made it. You made the cut. Okay, don't look around for who's not here. That's irrelevant this morning. God is talking to us. But here's the thing, you came here, you made a decision, you joined us this morning. If you're visiting, you joined us here, and probably you'll be going somewhere else as well. Doesn't matter. You were here, you made a decision to hopefully worship and not sing a song, because there's a difference between the two as well. We can sit here, sing songs, and we've not been touched by the worship. And that's why I wanted us to go there, because sometimes, you know, we can sing songs, but we were not in the presence of God necessarily. And it's our responsibility individually, you know. It's not just the responsibility of the people here at the back. They're just leading and facilitating some of that, but we are being invited into that place. And then maybe somewhere during the service that you, or maybe beforehand, you decided beforehand, God, I want to bless you, my offering, I pray over this, I come here prepared, and then I give unto you from a place of thankfulness. And then now in this service, we have it, the coffee actually before the time, and the first service, we have it after the service, so in between the two services. Maybe you spend some time with somebody this morning, fellowshipping there at the back as well, because you enjoyed the coffee, you enjoyed the fellowship with the people there. And if you want to take it a little bit further, you might on Wednesday night decide, you know what, this is so important to me, I'm going to spend more time or give more of my time discipling people, and I will join a small group and spend some time discipling people and also get the opportunity to be discipled and to be sharpened. That would be the normal average week for the majority of, some people just decide, you know, this is enough, some decide, I want to go a little bit further. But it might seem like a monotonous series of events that just coming to church again, another Sunday, and then we do it another Sunday, and I didn't necessarily experience this breakthrough, I didn't experience this Sunday almost in a way, but it was another Sunday. And I think we're so programmed in life that, you know, when we have the headache, I want to take the tablet now and I want the headache to disappear immediately. Yeah. We're so programmed in life that if I pay now, I want the benefit immediately. If I pay now, I want to pay the least amount of money with what cost me the least, but I want optimum results. You know, that's how we are programmed. You came here this morning with that. The world is asking that. If you were going home today, you're thinking, that's the quickest lunch I can get. I'm hungry. I just want to eat now, you know, unless you prepared well in advance. But when you get home, it's just anything I can warm up so I can just fill up. Yeah. So that's the way we've been programmed. And life is a series of events that we are doing continuously, smaller things that eventually contribute to critical mass that eventually brings the breakthrough. And many times we neglect and we miss this, because I think so many of us want to wait for that big breakthrough and the big thing, when this will happen, I'll be rich, and then, oh God, thank you, you are my deliverer. But many times in life is not like that. The Bible is filled with stories of men, ordinary men that just lived life daily, just got up, drank the coffee, went to church another Sunday, went to church another Sunday, and then someday something snapped or something happened. Critical mass kicked in. A series of consecutive events that contributed to something bigger. I think the majority of us sitting here this morning, our life would probably look like that, where it's a series of smaller consecutive events that contribute to something bigger. And because we're sometimes so programmed to look for the big thing, wait for the big breakthrough, to wait for when this will happen now, instead of just focusing on the now and being faithful in the now, we miss the moment. We miss it, and we underestimate. I don't want to run ahead of this, but Scripture is saying to us this morning that all of us are sowers. You say to me, I don't know necessarily, I don't necessarily agree with you. Here's the reality. The fact that you just came here meant that you already sowed. If you didn't come, and I'm not trying to put people on a guilt trip, but just neglecting, just avoiding, just not doing it also results in somebody sowing, or you sowing, actually. Because if you're not sowing, you're actually sowing. Does it make sense to you? If I'm not intentionally sowing in the good ground, in the spiritual ground, in the ground where I want to see the fruit, I'm actually sowing in the bad ground by not sowing there. Just negligence is sowing as well. In my children's life, if I'm not deliberately working intentionally in a specific direction, saying certain things, praying certain things, doing certain things, if I avoid that, I'm sowing as well. If I'm avoiding getting into the presence of God, I just become distant, more distant, more distant, more used to that. One Sunday becomes two Sundays becomes a month can become a few months, and avoid, and then eventually I just, that distance is there, and as a result, there's a gap that has been formed. And this is the thing, people easily skip the one and the two, because one and two doesn't matter, but it's critical mass. One and one and one and one and one and one eventually will add up. And Scripture says to us this morning that we are sowers wherever we sow, that God will not be mocked, that eventually we'll get to a place where there's a breakthrough, where critical mass will kick in, where the combined results of all the consecutive small things reach that point when the thing tips over. Everything contributes, my friend, my brother and sister. Everything we do in life contributes. Your decision this morning, let's reverse this. Take it back to the decision of your decision to come to church this morning. It wasn't just a monotonous decision just to attend church because you didn't have, you didn't have something else to do or something better to do. I want to believe that you wanted to be here, that this is priority for you. But you getting up this morning, you're communicating to the world, to your children, to people out there, this is priority. Being in the presence of God is more important to me this morning than just having a coffee with a friend. Being in the presence this morning with other fellowship, with other believers, is more important to me than just catching up with my sleep. That's what I'm communicating. Now it gets much more challenging. When I take my children with me, I'm communicating to them, this is priority. This is what we do. I'll get to this a little bit later, how this communicates to our children. And it's so vital that we don't underestimate the small things, because it speaks to and it ministers to those around us. We get here, and when we worship, not sing songs, we're communicating, God, I want to connect with you. I'm not here to sing a song with you. God, I'm worshiping. I'm giving you everything. God, I'm opening up. I become vulnerable. Lord, speak to me. And God, I give you, I pour out myself. I'm communicating, I'm sowing, I'm contributing. There's a consecutive act that would eventually contribute to critical mass. Well, this is the thing, critical mass, you can apply this so everywhere. You can sing a song, but it doesn't contribute to critical mass. But when you worship, there's a place that you would reach in the spirit when you just break, when there's just a breakthrough. God, because it's a song of the song, pouring out my heart thought. The Holy Spirit respond to that, or I break. Or maybe you gave this morning finances, offering. You say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you are doing for me. God, this is not much, but God, thank you. And I said it in the first service as well. There's one thing all of us can't do. Can we just open that blind? It's going to disturb us a lot. One thing we can't do is that we can't outgive God. Can't outgive God. You can't. He's the God who will always have the last one. You give, He gives back. You give, He gives back. Because I'm God. And when we give, when we come here prepared, that's just the way. That's our God, I serve. If you decided to spend some time to make that a priority, to spend time and have fellowship with your people, then you're actually communicating to the rest or to people out there, hey, this is important to me, that I spend time with you, that I get to know you, that I find out how are you. Then it's not just about me, that I have a family. I can't just come here, get the message, get some food, and I'm off. I'm all for myself. I'm spending time because I really want to know, are you okay? And then I want to take it a little bit further on Wednesday night because you matter to me. Your spiritual well-being matters to me. So I want to give some of my free time on a Wednesday night, in this case where we are, in Shofar Swakopmund, where we have small groups, say, listen, your spiritual well-being is important to me, it's a priority to me. Can I give some of my time towards that to help you? But at the same time, can you sow back into my life so I can receive? That's all he communicates. Actually, it's a command for all of us, getting involved in discipleship when Jesus left earth. But we're not going there this morning. Everything values, of everything contributes. And the biggest mistake, my friend, my brother and sister, is to underestimate, or sometimes to look at something and say, listen, this is so small, it doesn't really matter. And then we neglect that because we do not see the immediate results. Amen. You're as quiet as the first service. What's happening here? You're cold. Huh? Your mouth is cold. Make some funny noises or anything that would help. Sometimes it's the small consecutive things that will contribute and take us to that level. Think about this scripture. Joseph. Joseph gets a dream and it gets interpreted, or he gets understanding of that. And then God says to him, hey, Joseph, you're going to have 7 good years. But in those 7 good years, you need to collect and store up food. For 7 years, Joseph had to store up food, doing the same thing every morning. Okay, guys, can you go and find out where we can get some grain? And they go out and they buy some grain. Store. They plant, they do it, and they put it away. Then another, after 3 years. I mean, think about that. The scripture tells us that how many they were buying from everywhere, literally storing up. I mean, the logical people would probably have told Joseph, Joseph, stop now, man, you've got enough. This is a good year. Why are you storing stuff up in the good years? I mean, Joseph had a personal revelation, but not them. Joseph had to do according to his personal revelation and walk according to that. But it didn't make sense to the natural and to mind, nor to the logic people and to the realistic people out there, that Joseph had for 7 years had to do the same thing over and over. Store up food, store up food, store up food, until the 7 years ended. Then it all made sense. Critical mass kicked in after 7 years. Because if he wasn't faithful for 7 years doing the same thing, storing up food, just being obedient in God, storing up food, I don't believe they would have made it. Because God told him well in advance. Mark and them, they played their guitars this morning, playing an instrument. And I shared with you, David. You ever thought about David's story before he became famous? Before he became popular? Before he entered into the king's palace? Somewhere David had to play and practice. Where he didn't have an audience. Where he just had to get up a little bit earlier, or maybe cut out some extra time. Extra time, what's that? We don't have extra time. Huh? Had to cut out some time from our busy schedule. Because I'm too busy, God. But anyway, this is priority to me. I'm just going to practice. No audience. But because David was faithful, playing his harp, not his guitar. Same thing, every day. Ting, 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 ting. Then he gets better. Ting, ting, ting. But he's doing it unto God. Ting, 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 ting. Now he's playing a song. I mean, he didn't have tutors then. I don't know. Maybe somebody showed him. And he would do that for years and years, maybe, until a point when God knows, and this is the thing, God knows your address. You can do the same thing over and over and over again. Nobody knows about that, but God knows that. And at the right time, God says, do not grow weary, because the breakthrough will come doing the same thing, same thing, same thing, as long as you know it's the right thing that God has told you to do. Do it over and over and over and over and over, over and over and again, because critical mass will eventually kick in. When you just do another one of those, and this happens, one good morning. Same happens in the bad side of it. Samson. Samson's mistake with Delilah wasn't just a coincidence. Actually, Samson had a problem. He's just like, hey man, I like a beautiful woman. Let's be honest. The Bible says that was his weakness. And if Samson, actually, if he had put a system in check, speaking to somebody, said, listen, I've got a problem. There's a weakness here. Can I just be accountable to you? I think that would have protected him from slipping down this. And God restored, God helped. We know the end of the story of Samson. Judas. Again, a bad case scenario of critical mass. He started with I don't have any money. I put it into the offering, so it's good that I don't have any more. But if I had, He started with the 5 cent or the 10 cent or the $1, and then the $1, $1, $1, $10, $10, and eventually what? Or shekels. He sold his destiny or his life because of that consecutive thing, doing the wrong thing. And you get away, and I think John Andrews the other day said, you know, when you get away with something that you were not supposed to get away with, sometimes do the wrong thing, that's not grace. That's just God's goodness. You just got away with it. Thank God for that. God, thank you. But it's not God's approval because of a wrong lifestyle. And I'm not trying to go down that way. I'm just saying, doing the same thing, wrong. Critical mass kicks in, and then you don't understand, why did this now happen? I've been doing this all the time, and now suddenly this happens. Because we need to put those things in place to protect us. Likewise with the good, with the good things. See, success, no matter how we define success this morning, whether it's our job to work, to earn a lot of money, whether it's to be famous, whether it's to achieve a lot of power, it will require something of you. You need to sow there. Now, I'm not saying that is success. I personally believe that success is doing what God has asked me to do for all of us. That's my quick and easiest explanation of success in life. It's not money. It's not power, it's not fame. Those can come with that as a result of that. Maybe, I don't know. If not, that doesn't matter. Fact is, I need to answer to God one day, did I do what you asked me to do? That's all. God will just ask all of us, children of God, I'm talking now, ask all of us, did you do what I asked you to do? Not what you thought you would do, or you wanted to do, what I asked you to do. And if we are placed out there, we're sowing, and critical mass is kicking in sometimes. And Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 21, he's talking about this principle of the small things. He says, you know what? If you are faithful in the small, continuously, small things, not the big things, small things, consecutively, I will reward you and appoint you over the bigger things. Because God is the one that sees the smaller things. Consecutive. I'm trying to encourage us this morning to realize, you know what? Sometimes we sow, and we don't see the immediate benefit. So because we don't see the immediate benefit, we tend to hold back because there's no fruit. But some fruit in life takes longer to develop. It takes longer sometimes with some people. You've been praying, and nothing happens. And praying, and nothing happens. Well, that's what we think, at least. Because we tend to go according to what we see. We're programmed like that. Oh, nothing happens, now I'll stop praying. Oh, not doing this anymore. And we're so geared like that. God says, change your sight. Start seeing spiritually. It's almost like we need these eyes to see under the ground where the seed is sown. Hey, listen. And the Lord had to encourage me a couple of months ago because I was working through stuff in our congregation. Said, God, I want to see change here. And the Lord said, Keep on sowing, because I'm telling you, the change is coming. Believe me. Don't go according to what you see. Go according to what I tell you. Keep on sowing. I'll tell you, we're close to that point of critical mass, where the thing is going to tip over, and then everybody's going to say, where did this come from? Overnight revival or what? No, it's sowing, watering, sowing, because everything contributes in our life. See, everything. Every act, coming to church, spending time with our children, we can break down this whole thing into literally or apply this to everything. But everything has got a value or weight towards that. Coming here this morning has got a weight, big or small, I don't know, for you. But it is one thing our enemy loves to do, is to confuse our minds with the weight. If you put your spiritual responsibility, put this weight on it, or allocate this weight towards that. All he wants to do is just confuse that with, oh no, that's not a big deal. Stay away another day, just another one. That's such a big deal. Just allocate that amount of weight to that. And all he does is just to shift that around. Confuse us a little bit. That's not so important. Our children, our spiritual well-being, our health, whatever it might be. But do that long enough, and critical mass says, eventually there will be a change. If you put it off long enough, today might not be a big deal. Tomorrow might not be as a big deal. But consecutively, it starts forming a habit. Habits forms lifestyles. Lifestyles form a destiny. I'm busy reading this book and how to be creative at a moment's notice. Anyway, I hope I have the title right. But anyway, some of it is in chapter that they allocate about pruning in your life, starting to prune certain areas. And you know what? The Spirit is working in certain areas of my life. And I think God, this is not, there's not fruit. It's just that I'm not happy with the fruit I'm seeing. It's almost like you see a small apple and I want a big apple there, God. So you realize you need to prune in order to get a bigger apple there. But it means that I have to look at things differently, apply different weights to that, realize that I need to sow more intentionally into that area in order to see the fruit growing in that area. Because everything contributes and everything has got a weight this morning. And the biggest mistake we can do this morning or make this morning is to underestimate maybe. When we underestimate, we become ill-disciplined. We don't prioritize because we underestimate the value of sowing into our children, for example, this morning. That coming just to church. Yeah, for you it was just another Sunday. Hear me this morning, parents. If you stay away, just for you another Sunday. But it is that decision of yours has got a repercussion on your children as well. You're communicating to them. I'm not stepping on toes, but maybe I'm stepping on toes. I don't know. I just want to live according to that. Because what I want to do is communicate to my children, this is priority. This is not part of what we do. This is who we are. Because if we make this optional, we're communicating, hey, this is part of what we do. This is another activity. This is another thing. This is not another thing to me. Child of God, Christianity, this is who I am. I can't add that to me. That is just who I am. This is not optional. This is a non-negotiable. And so we can carry on and on about this. Jesus talks about the 10 minas. Have you ever read that story about the 10 minas? Not the 10 talents, minas. Eh? Where he gives each person, how many? One. No, not the talents. He gave some, three, four, five, three, all those different. But to the rest, he gave each one minor. The Bible says that Jesus would come back, Walton's, one day we'll come back, Jesus would come back, and then he will ask us, oh, listen, can you just return to me what I have given you? Now, here's the thing, that minor is not representing talent. Okay, I want to make it clear out there. It's not your talent that is different for all of us here. It's the same thing, 10 minas, 10 people, one each. In other words, each one of us in this place that confessed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that one day he stepped into your life, received the same thing, salvation, foundational truth that's been handed over to each one of us, the same thing. None of us started running the 200 meter at the 50 meter mark, saying, okay, you know, you got a head start. No. All of us were handed salvation. Jesus Christ, here, salvation, you can have it for free. Take it, run with it. What you do with that, we'll talk about that later, almost in a way. Not trying to scare you, that's just the reality. Some of us, we take salvation and we realize, God, this is precious. Thank you, Jesus. Forever we would run with this. Some of us, we get used to this. Oh, salvation, yeah, man, I'm saved. Salvation, every day we need to wake up and think, God, thank you, I'm saved. I was lost. I was going to hell. I would have paid with my whole life. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell you what, that's a habit you can start to practice and learn in your life. Thank God every morning for your salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Your thankfulness should enthusiastically encourage you to go further than that. Now, God, this is not just about salvation. There's so much more that you want to give me. There's so much more that you want me to experience. I want to go more. I want to go deeper. I want to sow more. And as I sow and I sow and I sow, I start reaping, consecutively doing the same thing. For many, it would seem like stupid, monotonous stuff that we're doing over and over again. But here's the thing. When Jesus talks about this 10 minus, he's also talking actually about spiritual inflation. Spiritual inflation. You know, when you take your money, you put it in somewhere in the bad investment, we all know inflation comes and you think you still have the same money, but you don't have. And spiritual inflation is the same. We have people that receive salvation, and another person receives salvation, and this person would start running with that salvation. He finds out, you know what, there's so much more. I have to be obedient in this area. I'm going to trust God in my finances. I'm going to walk through the waters of baptism. I'm going to trust God to move in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to trust God to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this person starts growing into this, while this person is becoming poorer, because all he's got is just salvation. He's talking about salvation, salvation. And God's saying, there's so much more. There's so much that you can have. You can decide how far you can go. And then when you find yourself sometimes, you have conversation with people, you realize, oh man, I can see this. Spiritual inflation kicked in here. I just sat there. I went to church, go back home. Went to church, go back home. You never used what God is. You never pursued deeper. You never went deeper. You never walked out in faith. You never stepped out to that place where God said, I want to show you. I'm bigger than just what you've received, almost in a way. That's the kind of God. There's no limits this morning. People, there's no limits this morning on earth. There's not enough years for you left here on earth to discover the fullness of God. Amen. That's the amazing God that we're serving. There's not, I mean, that would have been so negative or so discouraging, thinking, you know what, when I eat age 60, I'm going to know everything about God. I've experienced everything, and now I have to live for another 20 years just with that. I don't know about you, but that is so discouraging. But every day I start learning more and more. I discover more and more. God says, there's more. So, water, 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 water. And eventually, then there's this breakthrough, because something, everything has got weight to that. If we're communicating to others or to our people, to our children, those around us, that wherever I sow, I put value into that. That's just it. If I sow there, the Bible refers to it in a different way. It refers to it in the treasure, in the ways of the treasure. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Where I sow, there's value in that for me. Not necessarily what God says, but for me. If I sow into my work, I'm communicating, I value that. If I sow into my family, I'm communicating, I value you. If I sow into the kingdom of God, I'm communicating, this is priority to me. Versus attending an event. See, the son and the slave, two different views in church. Or the son or the slave would see the kingdom investment into the kingdom, even if it's finances, as an expense. Listen to me. If you still see giving into the kingdom of God as an expense, then it means you're still a slave. A son sees giving into the kingdom of God, money, resources, time, as an investment. Say, God, this is my home. Thank you, Lord. You're inviting me. This is not a burden. This is thank you. And God wants us to move on beyond that place that we can sow and sow and sow and know that there's a harvest about to happen. Critical mass is about to kick in. One day when we just almost want to say, wake up. Think about Noah. Noah gets the word. Did he build the ark in 120 years? I wasn't sure. No, 120 years? How long did it take him? Anybody? Help me here. Help me preach. I think it's 120 years. It was a lot of time anyway. It wasn't 10 years. I think it's 120. Get my facts right. Anyway, that's long enough. But here's the thing. Noah got the word of the Lord. Start building the ark, not with nowadays technology and machinery. Maybe his handsaw, a hammer and a nail. I don't know what else he had. And then we start building this ark. One piece of wood at a time. Every day, 120 years. I don't want to say 365 days a week, but quite a lot of time. And then people will come along and say, Noah, what are you busy with? Oh, building an ark. What? Ark, what's that? Oh, no, I think God told me. Oh, man, you're insane. Why do you build that? Oh, for rain. What? Rain, what's that? Okay. The relative people, it doesn't make sense when you walk in faith when you're around relative people and logical people. They will shoot you. They'll tell you, man, you're mad. Where do you come from? Why are you sowing there? Oh, the ground. There's nothing there. Why do you sow there? And that's why God needs to help us sometimes. Not to sow according to what we see with the natural eye, but according to what He says with the spiritual eye. Because everything's got a weight. We will sow, and Noah sowed, and one morning when he hit that last nail, rain. And then it all made sense. Noah, don't grow weary. Noah, don't stop now. Noah, don't grow weary, because in the right time. Noah didn't build an ark overnight. Boom, there's the ark. He had to do it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. Disciplined, getting up again, doing the same thing over and again. Our children, if you take them out this morning, stay away from the presence of God. You're just communicating to them, hey, this is not so important, but it's okay. We can catch up later. Yeah, catch up later is fine. But over time, I'm communicating and imparting to them something that I'm going to struggle to reverse on the other end. But here's the thing. I've made this decision. I'll take them into the presence of God with me as often as possible. Because every time they go there, seed is sowed. Not necessarily by me, but by others around them. Just by rubbing off, just by playing with their friends. Every time. Because God says, and we'll get to that in a moment, nothing is useless. Every time they get there, another seed. And I don't know what's happening in that heart, little heart there. And one day, one beautiful morning, after many years of seed, one word is preached, one song is sung, one person speaks to my child. Oh no, I need to add another one. No, it's already done. Now it doesn't preach. Anyway, let's put it that way. There we go. One morning, that last word tips the scale. But the scale didn't tip of one word. It tipped because of a consecutive amount of people, seeds, deeds, things that were allocated towards that one course, towards doing just that. Faithful, God, faithful, faithful. John Dominique Balbi was the chief editor of alarm telling me, that's it, you ran out of time. So you can say, thank God. Hey, I'll put the plane's wheels out soon. One day, John Dominique Balbi was the chief editor of, 1995, was the chief editor of the fashion magazine Elle. Is it pronounced right, Elle? Yeah. Huh? Okay. And he had a stroke, and when he had a stroke in December 1995, he was paralyzed, as it would normally happen, and the only thing he could do is to blink his left eye. So he got a therapist, they got the alphabet in front of him, and he would start signaling to her when she points under different letters, which letters. So he start communicating to her by just blinking his left eye. Amazing. He went on to do this. He started writing a book, paralyzed, just blinking his eye. He died a year and 3 months later, March 1997, and his book was published, The Bodysuit and the Butterfly. So what's the name? Bodysuit and the Butterfly. 146,000 copies sold because of a man that was just doing the same thing over and over again. Little act like that resulted in a book that was written. Last time I checked, all of us can blink our eyes. Huh? Don't underestimate small things consecutively, doing the right thing at the right time, all the time, sowing, watering, until one day. The book wasn't written overnight. The breakthrough didn't come overnight. But anything being done consecutively, and that's why we do that, over time it creates momentum, over time it creates a habit, over time it creates a lifestyle, and eventually something happens. I'm trying to encourage you this morning not to give up. To keep on sowing, to realize that one day God is just going to step through and say, listen, this is it. This is your day. Do not grow weary. Listen to this. Galatians 6 says this. Do not grow weary. Do not grow weary. Because God knew. God knew that we are going to grow weary. That's just normal. We sow. We speak to that friend, we pray for that friend, we invite that friend. The friend says, yes, I'm coming to you with you to church. And then, like many of us had probably that experience, on a Sunday morning, you try to phone a friend and the phone is off. or you get this message, it was a late night, I can't make it, or, and then God, why did I ever spend so much time and our energy and I wanted to, and God says, do not grow weary. Keep on sowing, keep on sowing, keep on sowing, keep on watering, until one moment when critical mass one day kicks in. Carl talked about the finances this morning and about the Word of God that needs to allow us to change us and regenerate us. But you know, when our finances, it's probably that area as well that so often we're in tough times, then we hear, the Bible says, and this church is teaching me, I know what, I need to give 10% of my income, that's a lot of money, you know what. But let me just try that for 1 month and see if that works, you know. And if it's working, then maybe we can talk about the rest of that. But I'm going to push myself, you know. Because normally when it's good, I found, you know, I've learned to give when it wasn't as easy to give. When I actually didn't want to give and I didn't have to give. That's actually when God teaches us faithfulness. Other times you don't need to. Anyway, when your budget doesn't make it. Okay, so please don't come to me to ask me to help you to budget your budget. I'll tell you to tithe. So please don't come. You put me in an awkward place. No. No, it's true. I have to believe. I have to live according to what I believe here. You know, when I was working in the finance industry, in the banking, I would borrow thousands of money to people. And then I would ask different questions, you know. And I would ask, no, listen, your income exceeds your expenses, or we should do this, we should do that. Did you think about that? Did you think? Now I have the first question, are you honoring God with your finances? Because that's what Scripture says. And Scripture says, honor me with your finances. And now because we're so programmed to expect immediate results, what do we want? Our next month we want a breakthrough. We want to see that everything happens. And sometimes it doesn't happen. That's just the reality. Okay, so by the way, that's just not a discouragement not to give. I'm just telling you. Sometimes we give. But here's the thing. We give. Not because we want the perks or because we want the immediate benefit. I give because I love God and because I'm obedient to what I believe He's asked me. And one day, critical mass kicks in. But faithfulness was tested over a period of time. It wasn't tested over one night, born overnight. God can't call me faithful if I am in a tough place and now I just give. And you know, there's been testimonies of people that had breakthrough. Praise God for that. But majority of the time, it's people where nobody saw you, had no audience, you were doing the same thing over, 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 and it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it, because God says, I'm going to do it, and it's painful, and it's painful, and God says, boom, critical mass, that one step more, and God says, this is it, I found you faithful, well done, my good and faithful servant. There is a study being done by the magazine, Fortune magazine. You've heard about the Fortune magazine, yeah? They took 25 philanthropists and they made a study. They gave away more than 1.5, a few years ago. Nowadays, it's not that many, that much money anymore. $1.5 billion they gave away. So they took these 25 people and they started interviewing them and a survey around it. They found out that only 4 of those 25 inherited their fortunes. With the rest of them, they had a survey and they asked them, what would you attribute to your money towards all of that? And the majority of them said this, it's because of their generosity towards the kingdom of God, irrespective of what religion almost, but towards the kingdom of God. And they all said they were givers before they were receiving. They had to give first, sow first. Not we sow, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be rich. No, sow, faithful. That's a faithful. Always think about that scripture and how I'll close, okay? The wheels are out. Whew. Amen. You can say amen. It's all right, I won't take offense. Always think about that scripture of the man that built his house on the rock. And Jesus says, when the storm comes, He will test it. You don't know the foundation of your house until the storm comes. Unfortunately, we need the storm sometimes to help ourselves to see if the foundation is still right. Just to show us, you know what, you've been building, you've been sowing in the wrong place. And sometimes we run away from the storm. God, help us. Save us from the storm. God, You protect us in that storm, but it will also help us to grow stronger in that place so that we can know, hey, I've been sowing at the wrong place. Maybe time I should trust God in this area to build upon that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I want us to close with that scripture this morning. He writes this to the Corinthians, not to the pastors, not to the leaders, just to the everyday people out there, to the me and you. He says this to them, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Be strong, listen to this, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. What a beautiful scripture. What an encouragement. What a place to uplift us. What a scripture to call us to that place. And I want to ask you this morning, are you still strong and immovable? But are, and that's maybe a bit more direct, and it's a bit more personal, and that's a bit more confronting, but I have to ask you that question. Where are you working for the Lord? It's not talking about pastors here. Please help me. Working for the Lord is not a 9-to-5 job here at the church so that we can pay you so that you can do it. It's all of us here. We've been placed at different spots, and God says, connect it to my kingdom. I've placed you. You're a different channel. You've got a different makeup. I've gifted you differently, but it needs to be connected to the kingdom of God. And we can pursue fame, power, money, all those kinds of things, sowing into those areas, but it's so disconnected from the kingdom of God. And God says, work, listen, enthusiastically, with a smile. God, thank you. Thank you, God. I see this opportunity for the Lord, because nothing will ever be useless. I can make an altar call right now. I can invite people. Nobody can respond. God says nothing is useless. I can sow into that person's life. Nothing happens. God says it's not useless. Keep on sowing. It's not useless. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you sit here this morning. I don't know. Your spiritual well-being. I don't know if you are in a relationship. Some of you might be, but maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize you've sowed the wrong places and that Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior this morning. That you're standing on the wrong side of life almost in a way, trying to do things your way, trying to make a living, trying to survive. But before we can go further, you need to take that brave decision by realizing that you need Jesus in your life this morning. You can't do that on your own. Nobody's looking around. I want to give you that opportunity where you know your life is not centered around Jesus Christ. It's centered around your own initiatives and efforts. And you need to invite Jesus this morning and say, Jesus, this is a mess. Help me here. Nobody looking around. I want you to, just where you sit, while nobody's looking around, give me an indication. Say, Yaku, I need that prayer this morning. Jesus, walk into my life. I need to surrender this morning. If that's you, or nobody's looking around, you can just lift your hand, and I can see where you are. And I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to pray for the rest of us as well. So if we can just be patient for a moment. If you lifted your hand quickly to come to the front, I want to pray with you. Slip out of your seat. You can just leave your seat. Just quickly head to the front. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life. I want to pray with you. And I want to make sure that somebody, you can just turn around. That's fine. Somebody connects with you, that we help you. Because this journey is not a journey alone. It's a journey together. Thank you, Jesus. While every eye is closed, I want you to. There's more people coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want you to close your eyes as you stand here and pray with me in your loud to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and in need of you. I come to you just as I am, and I ask forgiveness. Cleanse me and heal me. I receive eternal life from you this morning. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for each and every person that made that decision this morning, Lord. That said, Lord Jesus, here I am. Father, I thank you for a transformation. But Father, more than that, Lord, that you come, Lord, you give them a new heart, Lord. A heart, Lord, that is replaced with a heart of stone, Lord, that are removed, Lord, and you give them a heart of flesh this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want you to take your seats just here in the front. Somebody's going to just fill out a card with you. If you don't leave, you can just take your seats. The rest of us, while every eye is closed, as we close here this morning, I just sense that God says there's some of us maybe this morning that you've grown weary. And all we want to do is just pray for God's grace upon your life. That He want to encourage you this morning. Don't go weary. Keep on sowing. Just doing. Stand. Be strong and immovable. If that's you, just quickly stand where you are. I just want to pray with you. A prayer of God's grace just to come upon you. You know, we grow. We go through seasons in life where we just sometimes grow weary. And we just have to acknowledge there's nothing wrong. Just say, God, I'm weary, but God, I ask you for a fresh portion of your grace. That's all we're going to do. Just where you are, before I end. Just quickly stand where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word that encourages us. Thank you, Jesus. I said, God says there's two more people. I'm going to wait. There's two more people. And it's just a prayer of grace. Just a prayer of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask. This is the beauty of family. We can lay hands upon one another and pray for one another. If I do that, I have to go to all of you. And I can pray one prayer, but I want us to pray for one another. So what I want us to do is just lay hands upon the person close to you if he's standing, and just pray God's grace, God's power just to come upon that person, just to remain standing, just to keep on sowing, and not grow weary of doing the right thing. Can we do that for a moment as we close the service this morning?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.